Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Hack the Entrepreneur, the book, Hack Number 7. It will never be worse than today. We count our achievements too soon. Some people think they will be rich on the first day their website is online. There's a much better perspective. The first day your website is up, it will look like the worst that it is ever going to look. It's the worst product offering you'll ever have, because you will keep improving it from there. Andrea Lake, founder of Sticker Junkie and Deliquent Distribution. Get this and 49 other brilliant entrepreneurs at htebook.com, or go straight to Amazon and drop $2.99 to get your own copy.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a former actress, clothing designer, and a reluctant entrepreneur. My guest began her career as a professional actress, but decided to become an entrepreneur. So, with just $20,000 inheritance and strong perseverance, a business was born. She is now the founder and CEO of Twirly Girl, a clothing company with the sole purpose of empowering individuality and creativity in young girls. Twirly Girl is made exclusively in Los Angeles with local fabrics, and this determination for quality and empowerment has propelled Twirly Girl to become a million-dollar brand that it is today. Now, let's hack Cynthia Jamin. Before we get rolling here, I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Braintree. I know you remember the first dollar you made in business. It's a hard thing to forget. It's one of the greatest parts of being an entrepreneur. And now you want to grow until your business makes your millionth or billionth dollar. But have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one simple integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how you and your company can grow with Braintree, visit BraintreePayments.com/hack. That's BraintreePayments.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest all the way from Southern California. Cynthia, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, John. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. I know this is going to be a lot of fun. So let's jump straight into it. Cynthia, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think there's a few things involved, but the main thing is being authentic with who I am and what my brand is about and where it comes from, and really communicating that to the customer. And it's not an easy thing to get right. We keep honing it and tweaking it and finding new ways to get that message across. But I think that that really helps people feel like they have an intimate connection with us rather than just a superficial e-commerce site. That's not what I'm about at all. And I really try and hit that home in every area that where I communicate with people, whether it be emails, telling people order confirmations. I try and make that really personal and fun and informative. So every single thing that I do is about communicating that we're real people, we care. Our brand is more than just about selling to you. We're about an experience, creating memories, all of that stuff. So I really think that's part of our success.
I love this. This is something I haven't heard before. And I like how you mention it down to like an order confirmation or an email. things that often get overlooked as just simply transactional, if you will, where it's just a necessary. We have to just send this receipt, but then not actually putting your authentic voice into it. So is this something that you've sort of grabbed onto as you've sort of grown as a company, or was this something that sort of got you started and you were like, this is how it's going to be from the beginning?
I think every step of the way, I think it's been since the beginning, because I'm always the type of person that doesn't want to do things like everybody else. And so I don't want to blend in. I don't want people to think like that I'm like every other business. So every single interaction is always an opportunity for me to express my voice and communicate as a real person. So as we've evolved and grown, we've gone even further with that, to down to the point of the hang tag and all the messaging we put on that. Is there's a little incantation that the child can say when they put the dress on or whatever piece of clothing they get. So it's really about creating a whole experience and connection from the minute they get on the website, the very minute they get on the website. And it's so important to me to be able to have that intimate connection. And I keep saying intimate because we lose that one-on-one personal face-to-face when you don't have a brick and mortar. So you almost have to work 100 million times harder for them to really see you as a person. And a lot of times we get responses like, I cannot believe you guys are emailing me at 11 o'clock at night. Do you ever sleep? I can't believe I'm getting this kind of attention from a company, because we're all so programmed to think that everything on the internet is faceless and nameless and kind of anonymous without somebody we can really communicate with. Even though there's chat boxes and this and that, it all feels a little robotic. So we try and really infuse ourselves into everything. And we really do blow our customers away with that. So that's been since the beginning, and I've only gone further with it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And so it's interesting. I'm seeing this as you said how we're faceless and nameless on the internet, but at the beginning of that, you also said how you wanted to, it's kind of inherent within you to create something different than other people. And in this case, this is creating a business different than other businesses.
Yeah.
Right. And so I want to go to this time where, looking back now, it must make sense, but sometimes going forward, it doesn't. But there seems to be this time that I want to go back to in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things: that either they have this calling to make this big difference in the world, or they find that they can no longer just work for somebody else. So Cynthia, I know that several years back, you went through a time where you became sort of a reluctant or accidental sort of entrepreneur. So could you take us back there and then tell us sort of which side of the fence you see yourself on, either making this big difference, or is it simply that you just found you couldn't work for someone else anymore?
Oh boy. Yeah, I've never been good working with other people in terms of having a boss and having to do things I don't like to do. If you tell me to do something that I want to do, I'll do it gladly. But yeah, I think it came to a point where in the acting world, which is where I was, I really hated waiting for the opportunity to do what I loved. And the business side of it really became laborious, and I started to resent the whole process of getting up, putting on makeup, going to an audition. I mean, that's pretty much a time to get out, you know, when you can't even muster the energy to go on that audition anymore, because it just became debilitating. Because you'd go there and half the time they're already cast before you get there, and it's just a waste of time. It became a huge waste of time. And even though I was successful to a certain degree, I didn't like waiting. So when I had the opportunity to start my own business, it really was this revelation of, my God, I don't have to wait for anybody to give me the chance to do what I want to do. that was huge for me. So it was kind of a combination of not wanting to work with under those circumstances where I had to wait for something. And I think that's true even if you have a job that you don't like. You're still waiting for that chance to be creative or have a voice or be the master of your own universe, you know, unless you're happy kind of being a worker bee, which is fine. That's just not my personality. I really want to keep learning and growing and challenging myself. And I don't like doing the same thing twice in a row, really. So I'm always mixing things up. So that moment came when this opportunity to build a business happened. And then everything kind of fell into place. Like, this is really where I'm happiest, being my own boss. It happened all at once in a way. Does that make sense?
It does, totally. It does. And I like this idea. I mean, well, I don't like the idea of sort of gatekeepers, if you will, people who you need their approval or acceptance or direction to say, yes, now you can do this. And I can see your frustration in that. So then you went from acting for many years into having this opportunity to start a business. And your unique thing is you being authentic and then wanting to do something different than other people and wanting to now start a business different than other businesses. Was there ever like an apprehension in you that maybe since it's my first business and I don't have a lot of experience, business, marketing, all these things, maybe I should kind of do what works first and then put my voice into it? Or was it just, no, I have to do it the way I'm going to do it?
Well, I think ignorance is bliss in this case, because sometimes when you go into an industry that you know nothing about, your default is to do it different because you have no clue what you're doing in the first place. So for me, that was a natural fit. I started it like a hobby, really. So there was no investment. There was no feeling like, okay, this has to work, and how am I going to consciously set about going to make this successful? It was more about, I'm really enjoying this. I'd like to put it out there more. Why don't I try this? And as I discovered the right, quote unquote, way to do things, that's when I started to go, I don't know. I've been doing it this way. This way I kind of like better than the right way. So I'm going to keep going with what I want to do. I mean, I'll give you an example. Production. Typically, clothing lines, you come out with one or two colorways. That means it comes in red and blue, okay? And you make a lot of red and blue. And then when you're done with red and blue, you scrap that style and start a new style in orange and pink or whatever. Well, I would keep the same style and just keep changing the colors. Well, there's good and bad to that. For me, it differentiates myself from other brands because they're constantly turning over. They don't really keep things the same. Me, I stick with a signature piece, a timeless piece, and I keep changing the fabric. So they almost become collector's items. There's limited number of each thing that I produce, because I'm not making hundreds of reds and hundreds of blues. I'm making 50 or 25, and then I switch it. So there's something very exciting in that. There's an exclusivity that people like, a one-of-a-kind appeal. But I'll tell you, that really is the wrong way to do it if you're building a business, because it's very hard. It's very hard to create that one-of-a-kind appeal. But that's what I chose to do, and I've been doing it ever since, and I make it work. So the ignorance of is bliss part is really what has helped me grow this business in a different way, because my default is to do it the way I want to do it. And then I find, oh, I should have done it this way, but really? Why? This is what sets me apart. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
I love it. Ignorance is bliss. And that is the thing that has sort of propelled you forward.
Yeah.
Now, I know you don't like quote unquote experts in things, but these days the business experts and people who write all the blog posts all the time, they do talk about the 80-20 rule.
Yes.
And you're supposed to do 20% of the work and you'll get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and you're supposed to delegate the rest. Cynthia, can you tell me something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
I'm really bad at sticking to lists. It's like the hardest thing for me. I have so many things to do. And my problem is I love to multitask. It's just how my brain works. And so it's really hard for me to stick to one thing, finish it, and go on to the next thing. So that's definitely something I'm really bad at.
Nice. But you're aware of it. And do you...
Totally.
Do you, when you say that it's like something that you're really bad at, does that mean that you do want to sort of work your way into getting rid of this habit?
Yeah. The problem with lists for me is I write it down and then I feel like I've done it because I've written the list and then I forget to go back to the list. I just looked at a list and went, oh my God, I totally forgot to do that. And it's right there because I don't know what it is. So I just have to find a system that works for me better. But yeah, that's definitely not a good thing.
Yeah. awareness of these issues is the first step to
it
recovery.
Is. Thank you. Thank you.
Knowing you have a problem.
Yes, I do have a problem.
All right, Cynthia. So let's move to projects if we can.
Yeah.
So projects can be a very loose term. So whether it's like a new marketing direction you want to take in the business or a new product line, I would love to know, I'm sure as like an entrepreneur, I'm sure that you have many ideas that come through your head. And then with a team around you, I'm sure there's tons of ideas. So I would like to know whether it's an internal process you have or whether it's a written process, but what is the process that you go through when an idea comes to you of how you determine whether it is worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources?
This whole journey, I feel like I've been able to really learn how to trust my gut. And when an idea comes to me, it's usually because it really needs to happen. So for instance, there's a need to clean our website up, you know, get the message across very succinctly, even more precisely, and clear things away, remove the clutter. So when that idea comes to us, we really jump on it. It's really not something that we're going to sit there and debate for a while, because I truly believe when you have an idea, it's worth investigating and following through on as far as you can take it. Maybe it leads you to something else that was more appropriate, but that idea is almost like the diving board and you really do need to jump in and explore it, because those moments are gold. It's divine inspiration. And to an entrepreneur who's building something, those come into your life for a reason. It sounds a little spiritual or whatever, but I really do believe we have those instincts to guide us. And so I always pay attention to them. So when we have that, like, quote unquote, project to do, it really is out of the need to move the business forward.
Yeah, I like that. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it spiritual, maybe, but it's trusting that gut instinct and knowing that it is something that I think most companies, especially, I mean, before they get massive, when they're smaller companies, I think they can die by just debating nonstop.
Like, yeah.
You should do this next move. It's like, oh my God, you should have really just been done that move by now rather than still talking about it.
Yeah, because you can always change and adjust things, but you've got to keep growing and being in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when, let's say, cleaning up the website and sort of simplifying the process, that becomes an idea you want to do. So I know that you talked about how starting Twirly Girl was like a crash course in business design and marketing all in one.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming you sort of stumbled through it, kept in motion and kept going. But say the now, as you're more established and now you want to clean up the website, how would you, like, do you guys think, okay, let's go outside the company and like hire sort of an expert who can do this for us? Or do you personally, or do you get somebody to be like, okay, learn all about how to make, as we would call like UI or UX, like user experience or user interface better for the customer? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you think that that needs to stay internal or do you go outside?
No, you definitely have to research. You have to go and talk to experts who know more than you. We're really good about finding the information. And somehow the right people just rise to the surface for us to talk to because we keep putting it out there. We're on forums for business. E-commerce Fuel is one that we have gained so much insight into growing our business from other entrepreneurs that are in this forum. And it's like a community. So you put something out there and you say, hey, what's your experience with this or that? Or how can we raise our conversion rate? We know we have a great product. We're not capturing all the people that come to our site. We're not turning them into customers, all of them. And we really want to raise that. Oh, talk to this person. Oh, you should be doing this. Oh, that. So then you start filtering through everything you're getting. And we talk to as many people as we can. And then we come back inside and we go, okay, what feels right? We've even had people design what they thought our brand looked like to them. And they came up with some good ideas. And then we take those ideas and bring it back in. What feels right? Because of course, we know our brand better than anybody. But it's good to have that fresh take. So I think at the end of the day, you cull all this information and then you take it back in, you go through it and you really analyze what's going to be your right next move.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love that idea. And then I love this idea of just how you want to, you seem like you just want to kind of always be moving forward.
Yeah.
Or at least moving in the direction that you think is forward, which can sometimes end up you have to go left now and you have
two
to go right.
Two steps back sometimes.
Yeah, but you don't know that at the time and you wouldn't know that if you just stood still. So this brings us to something that you as the leader and as the entrepreneur behind this, one of our greatest struggles as entrepreneurs and I think just as human beings is in general, is this fear of following your gut and pushing people ahead in that direction, not just yourself, but other people as well. And then of being wrong and making a mistake and then finding out that actually that was a completely wrong move to make.
Yeah.
So Cynthia, could you sort of walk me through like how to be wrong in your business?
I can because we have two really good examples that happened this year. The business started out as retail, you know, selling direct to the customer, which is what I love. Then we took a little detour and started focusing more on wholesale because everybody says, oh, quantity, sales, get your sales up. And wholesale's great. Being in stores is a really good way to get your product out there. And at the end of the day, you have to go with what you love to do, right? Because that's where your energy and passion is going to be. My passion is for retail. It's for selling direct to the customer. I like working with the people who are actually buying my product. So I realized, okay, let's go back to retail and let the wholesale kind of be what it is. Let's not put all our resources there, but let's go back to developing more retail connections. So we did that for the last 2 years. So start of January, we're like, we need to build the wholesale again because now we've kind of let that go a little too far and we want to keep track of some new stores and stuff like that. Get some few more good accounts under our belt. And we love the stores we currently work with, but it'd be nice to have a few more. So we went to a couple of trade shows. And in my gut, I'm going, I shouldn't be doing this. I really shouldn't be doing this. There's got to be another way. Okay, we'll do it. You know, but the whole time I'm sitting there going, oh, this is not what I want to be doing. Why am I investing all this money? And let's go to New York too. Okay. Like, let's do it in Vegas and New York. Why not just go all the way into the wrong? Like, fully. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all the way there. So that's what we did. And it's funny because it's not really wrong with capital letters. It's something we had to do to know that really where the energy is. Like you just almost have to keep testing it and seeing, is there more we could get out of this area or really is it just not our thing? And it's really not our thing. And I hate to admit that, but it just isn't. I don't know what the disconnect is, but you know, we got a few stores, but it really doesn't pay for the investment. And was it worth doing? Yes, because it answered these questions again, which is, where is our focus? Where should we be spending our money and our time and our energy? It's in retail. And we're not going to let go of the wholesale. But again, you have to keep investigating things, even when you know it's wrong. It doesn't matter. You almost have to do it. And it doesn't make any logical sense. I can't tell you why you have to do it, but you just have to. You have to go there.
And the idea of going all in, like you said, is it. I mean, you could have wasted another 2 years kind of half-assing it through and being like, well, maybe it'll work if I just went all in, but I don't want to go all in because I don't think it'll work. And you'd still be right now, you'd be like, well, it might work. Now you're like, no, it doesn't. We've moved on.
Yes.
That's because you went all in.
Yes, exactly. I mean, yeah. And it makes no sense because you're just watching the money go out and go out and go out and going, I know. It's quicksand right now, but I've got like this little rope at the top. I'm going to get out, but it's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cynthia, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I do want to wrap up on one final question for you. So it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which as dreamers, as entrepreneurs, we oftentimes project our successes always into the future, meaning that oftentimes we end up living in this gap where no matter what we accomplish and how successful we look like from the outside, we ourselves always project and will be successful in 1 month when you do this metric, in 6 months when you do this, mm-hmm. when 1 year when you hit this revenue goal, that's when you'll be successful. Except as we know, the moment before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future. And yeah. we just never get the satisfaction from it. So you've spent a great career as an actress. You were successful in there and you decided to give all that up because you just wanted to try something new. You had no experience in business and now you've kind of knocked it out of the park doing this. So I know from my seat here, it looks like you are really successful and happy with what you have accomplished. But I would love it right now, Cynthia, if you could stop and look behind you at your whole sort of career up until today, the wins, the losses, the highs, the lows, and tell me how you feel about it up until this moment.
Boy, that's a big question. That's a good question. You're right. You don't really see where you are. We're always not satisfied. But I do want to honor the fact that I know I've made a lot of girls very, very happy and their families and given them something of value and something they're going to cherish. So when I look back on that, and sometimes I think, wow, I've really manufactured a lot of dresses and it feels really good to have it out there. Like just knowing that they're being enjoyed, something I made, something that came from my head. It was just an idea. And now people are physically, literally enjoying something I made is just everything. And that's, to me, that's what makes me feel successful. And it sounds a little corny, but it really is something that I can look to and say, yeah, I've made a difference. I've really contributed to making their childhood happy. That makes me feel really good.
Oh.
So I guess I don't know if that answered it.
That absolutely completely. That answers okay. it beautifully, and it's not corny at all.
Okay.
That's got to be a great feeling to have. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why you made the move and transition from one career to another. And
yeah.
it seems to be a success in that way. So Cynthia, we've got to talk about your business in passing. But now, could we specifically tell the listener where to find out more about you and your business?
Yeah. Everything about the business is at twirlygirlshop.com. We have a full-on About Us page. We go into depth about who we are and how we do it and all of that. And my email is cynthiajamin@twirlygirlshop.com. I welcome any questions or if you want any tips or anything, I'm happy to help other people. I think it's, you got to keep helping everybody. So
excellent.
We have to help each other.
We do. Yeah. I love it. So I will link to this all in the show notes for you. So once you get a chance to get back to your computer, you can go to hacktheentrepreneur.com and look up Cynthia. I will link to twirlygirlshop.com. as well as Cynthia's email. And I'm going to look up this e-commerce fuel forum in case there's other e-commercers. Is e-commercers a word? I don't think it is, but it is now.
Now it is.
E-commercers out there. This will probably be a great resource for you as well that Cynthia shared with us during this. And so thank you once again, Cynthia, so much for all that you do. Thank you for taking the time to stop by today. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you, John. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. I'm going to take one more moment to just thank my sponsor, Braintree, for this episode because they're the ones who support the show and me doing it. And I really do appreciate it. If you need payments online, go to braintreepayments.com/hack. So now came the point where I needed to go back and listen to what Cynthia and I talked about. We went a lot of places in the conversation. We dug sort of deep into some things and we played around a couple of things. So it was interesting to go back and listen. I love Cynthia's story of sort of reluctantly going into entrepreneurship with what she felt was no skills of marketing or business, but doing it anyways and making it a really, really great success. It's such an empowering, it's a great story. And then going back through this conversation, I went back and I listened to some things that Cynthia said. And when I went through again, it sort of changed what I heard. It's interesting when that happens. When I go back and take myself out of the actual conversation and just listen to it, it comes across sort of as different. So I went back and this thing that I thought that was going to be the one thing actually turned out to be something quite different. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Well, I think ignorance is bliss in this case, because sometimes when you go into an industry that you know nothing about, your default is to do it different because you have no clue what you're doing in the first place.
And that's the hack. Cynthia. Ignorance is bliss. Because when you have no clue what you're doing in the first place, you have no choice but to just go in and just make it up as you go. This is brilliant. Because not only because this allows you to go into a market that you feel you don't know nothing about or anything about, I suppose is the proper way to say it, but it gives you this freedom to not get bogged down trying to learn everything about a market, trying to learn everything about a business, trying to learn everything about creating a website or putting up your payments or doing anything. All of these things can just, that's like, I've been a really big supporter and pusher of just-in-time learning, meaning that you just learn things as you need to. Rather than Cynthia saying, well, I don't know how to market, or I don't know how to wholesale, or I don't know how to get a product into a store, she just went in without knowing and didn't worry about those things until the time came that, okay, we have to find a wholesaler. Now, what do? Go to that next step. Don't worry about knowing everything. It's impossible to know everything about anything, never mind your market or your product or the business you want to start. But also, not only is it not, like, not only is it impossible to know everything, but it's also 100% completely, fully unnecessary. It will hold you back. You wanting to know everything and thinking you need to before you start this business, this idea that you have, that's the thing. Knowing too much is actually going to hold you back, and it's actually going to stop you because you're going to probably end up copying what other people have done. I love this idea of just not knowing and just enter it, the market however you want and figure it out as you go. Cynthia, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your whole story with us. I really, truly, truly do appreciate it. And I love how you've lived this ignorance is bliss and done it successfully and shown us the way. And for that, I thank you. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. That will take you, if you're on an Apple device, that will take you directly to the page where you can just type in a review. You can give me 1 star. You can give me 3 stars. It doesn't matter to me. Just give me an honest review. I would super greatly, totally, 100% appreciate it. And it helps the show so very, very, very much. I don't ask much. I just ask for some reviews. If you are on an Android device, hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher will take you to the reviews for Stitcher. And that would help me just as much for the 50% of people in the world who don't use Apple devices or whatever the number is. I totally made up that statistic, but most statistics are 96.7% of all statistics are completely manufactured, I've heard. So there's that. Anyways, if you have 2 minutes, hacktheentrepreneur.com/review will get you there. And I would absolutely, absolutely appreciate it. Thank you. It's been fun. I 100% appreciate you stopping by, taking the time with me and with Cynthia today. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.